Atheist Nomads, episode 308. Providing some context on Eastern Orthodoxy and other things.
That's a terrible title.
Can you do better?
No.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me is Lauren.
Hello.
And we have Aaron coming in on Discord.
Hello.
Nice.
Oh, am I supposed to keep going? Gosh, I always feel like I'm not doing enough.
Except feeding a dead horse.
So Aaron is joining over Discord because she doesn't want to get sick.
No, I do not.
But I'm actually not sick.
Yes, you are.
But I'm not well.
Ow.
Because I'm a pedant with a cold.
Yes, because to be sick means you are throwing up, right?
Yep.
You're vomiting.
Yep.
You're not, so you're not technically sick.
So I'm not sick. I'm just ill.
And most people don't understand the pedantic nature of that joke.
Right, exactly. They're like, cool. So you've got a cold. Gotcha.
You got a cold and you hang around people's necks? What?
I've been working on this cold since the last time I had a cold.
Oh, wah, wah, wah. Where's the soundboard?
That's a good point.
Still working on it.
Listen, we've been around and around, and I didn't want one, and now I want one. So,
let's make it happen.
Let's do this.
With this whole digging into Eastern Orthodoxy, I kind of jumped in a little fast. I know it feels
a little fast, a little hard. Name of your sex tape.
And Lauren explained that she's now far more confused than she was before.
Ignorance was bliss.
Right.
So I'm going to provide a little bit more context for it. So we will later get to the earliest schism that happened.
Schisms.
Schisms.
But what happened was when Alexander the Great created his empire, the entire population from Greece around the Mediterranean down through to Egypt all started speaking Greek. And especially everybody with any education spoke Greek.
So it was the academic language.
Academic language, the language of government, everything except for
peasants.
Poor, ignorant folk.
Peasants.
What's
Greek Jewish for peasant? And can you say it with disdain?
Pagan.
Oh.
Country folk.
Pagans.
Heathen is from the Latin for country folk. They literally mean the same thing. It just means the people who don't live in the cities.
Are you eating something?
I'm just...
Oh, it sounded, sounded like your mouth was full.
All right,
no.
Sex tape.
Then when Rome...
I would like a corn dog right now, but...
Nobody can blame you on that.
So then Rome Rome conquered the...
Did Rome have corn dogs?
No, I don't think so.
Are you sure
they didn't have corn dogs?
Yep.
They did not have maize.
Corn dogs would be a byproduct of the Columbian Exchange.
Woo!
Yeah, but sometimes corn dogs aren't actually corn.
Well, then they aren't real corn dogs, are they?
But they're still freaking delicious.
They're just breaded fried hot dogs on a stick. Damn, I want one.
Okay, so the Roman Empire was able to successfully Latinize the rest of the Italian peninsula and what would become France and Spain, Gaul and Iberia. And the Celts were just the barbarians before the Germans that were the first ones to be Latinized. And barbarian initially just meant people who aren't Greek.
Okay.
And the Romans adopted it. Their first group of barbarians was the Celts. Their second group of barbarians were the Germans. The Germans were the super scary barbarians.
They're terrifying.
But when they conquered the former Greek Empire...
Who's they?
The Romans.
Okay, sorry. I'm losing track already.
they didn't Latinize that region.
They conquered it and then left?
No, they were fine with leaving them because the Greeks were not barbarians. They didn't feel the need to force them into assimilate into Latin culture. They found that getting the
what they walked in, looked at them, and said, "Eh, close enough." All right.
Basically, so when they went into Gaul, they fought battle after battle after battle and multi-decade long wars with horrible atrocities, trying to bring them into line and keep them from rebelling.
Sounds like they were doing a pretty damn good job at rebelling.
They were.
Stop rebelling! Stop rebelling!
And so eventually it reached the point where basically everybody who hadn't Latinized was dead, and they had effectively created France. At least what would become France.
The gall of these people.
Ha ha ha.
They didn't feel the need to do that with the Hellenized areas, the areas that had already assimilated to Greek culture, which ended up resulting in the scenario where the church in the eastern half of the Roman Empire, Greek was the language they used. And in the western half of the empire, they used Latin.
Okay.
So that's where the initial divide was starting.
That's the first great schism.
No, that's not.
The second great schism.
That came almost 1,000 years later, but it's what started it was just the fact it was two different languages.
Was it a schism at all, or am I...
No, the great schism of 1090, I believe it was 1092, that we started off this whole series with.
Oh my god, I'm sorry I even mentioned it.
Oh god.
Okay, no, I'm tired, so I'm not able to put the dots together at all. Anyway, right. We've got so this is Eastern Orthodox Greek
the Greek church versus
Greek church,
the Latin church.
The Latin church.
Right. And the Latin church was the Roman church.
All popey.
It was all under the Bishop of Rome. Whereas who is the Pope, his primary title is actually still Bishop of Rome.
Oh, well, we're just going to call him Pope.
Right.
Popey. I like Popey.
Yeah.
Hey, Popey.
If you want to get really familiar with it, you can call him Papa.
If he's old, he's poopy popey.
Because Pope is just anglicized Papa that they call him in Latin. In Latin, Italian.
I'm going to call him Pope.
Spanish.
Watch out, here comes the Popo.
Right, I just like the thought of Popey. Hey, Popey.
Hey. Popey walked into my joint.
So when...
Drove into it.
When Constantine moved the capital of the empire after he was moving the capital of the empire from Rome to Constantinople at the same time that he was making the Roman Empire officially Christian. And when he did that, all of a sudden, the little village of Byzantium was no longer just a little village. It became a very important city.
Where is Byzantium?
That was the name of Constantinople before Constantine named it after himself.
Okay.
Do. Oh, can't do it.
It's not mentioned in that song, so I got confused.
Right. So
all of my knowledge of history is based off of they might be giants.
Constantine
Constantine
moved the capital from Rome to Byzantium, and then he named it
Constantinople.
Constantine's city.
Constantine.
Opal is the suffix in Greek meaning city.
So don't call it
Constantinople.
Just call it Constantinople. That's what he called it.
Yeah, but it's Constantine City is what
that
means.
We don't need no translations for that. That's okay.
Yeah, so at that time, the Bishop of Byzantium became the Bishop of Constantinople, and because it was the new capital, he thought he was more important and started...
Being all popey.
Claiming the level of a patriarch.
Did you say anal poping?
No. He became all popey.
Oh.
Come on, Aaron. Stick with the lingo.
I mean, it's on theme still, yeah?
Yeah.
So then from that point, the bishop of Constantinople was the lowest ranking of the patriarchs. He used this is over multiple generations, multiple bishops. They started to claim supremacy because they were at the capital of the Roman Empire. Especially after the Western Empire fell, they continued to claim primacy because that was the new Rome. That was the bishop in charge of the most important city in Christendom.
I get that. Therefore, I would totally vote for that.
First among equals, with the emperor's blessing. And what ended up happening was the bishop in Rome claimed all the areas that were not under the Eastern Roman Empire, what would become the Byzantine Empire, even though officially it was always just the Roman Empire. It's commonly referred to in history as the Byzantine Empire.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. I assumed it was some, I don't know what I thought Byzantine was.
And so the Patriarch of Constantinople had claim and jurisdiction and authority over the entire church, all of Christendom within the Byzantine Empire.
So he got Byzantine and the Bishop Rome guy got everybody else.
He got the West. So the Western Empire, and then when the Western Empire fell, the German lands.
Oh, okay.
Then the Byzantine Emperor, or excuse me, the Bishop of Constantinople, then went through and eventually got, at a council, was granted authority over the barbarians.
Including the Germans. German lands.
Theoretically, it would have been the German lands, but where the Germans were was too far away. So it was a lot easier to go with the Slavic barbarians instead of the German barbarians.
Okay. So it seems a little lazy, but...
So they started sending missionaries due north into the Balkans and up into Eastern Europe. And those missionaries started converting people among the Slavic groups, which eventually got to the Russians. As time progressed, the Byzantine Empire started shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and eventually was destroyed. And at the time that it was conquered by the Ottoman Turks, the Patriarch of Constantinople still had authority and jurisdiction over the same parts of the church that his predecessors had had when they had the emperor's blessing, when they had an emperor. And the Russians got their autocephaly at that time, which in Orthodox world just means the Russian patriarch got to be, the Russians got to have their own patriarch as the head of their own church.
So we got Russian patriarch, Byzantine patriarch.
Constantinople.
Yes, yeah. I'm trying to.
Okay, yes.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm talking about, the patriarchs, not the cities. Okay, so we got a Russian patriarch, a Byzantine patriarch, even though he's lost a lot of power.
Yeah.
At this point, and the Roman.
There also would have been Antioch, Jerusalem, and Alexandria.
But we're not talking about those guys.
We're talking about them later.
Not this episode.
Not this episode.
Excellent.
Yes.
We do not need the holy hand grenade of Antioch yet.
That will come. So the bishop or the patriarch of Constantinople continued to have this jurisdiction and slowly started losing it. And as new empires would form, there'd be political pressure to grant autocephaly to national churches to kind of help keep the peace a little bit. So
they, autocephaly means that you have your own patriarch, your own pope.
Sort of, sometimes. Most of them don't actually have patriarchs. They have metropolitans, which a metropolitan in the Orthodox world is just it's the equivalent to a cardinal in the Catholic world. So a
sub-pope.
It's a bishop who is higher than just a bishop and is over a very large, important city and surrounding territory. So kind of like an archbishop or a cardinal.
Okay, okay.
And so over time, more and more countries ended up getting their own Orthodox church. So you got to having the Serbian Orthodox Church, the Montenegrin Orthodox Church, the Greek Orthodox Church.
You get an Orthodox Church, and you get an Orthodox Church, and you get an Orthodox. Everybody gets an Orthodox Church.
The one that went into being really hard was when they got when the Greeks got their own, actually got their own independent church, because what had happened was it was all fine and well when Greece was under the control of the Ottoman Empire, because it was all of these Greek Christians under the this Turkish Empire's rule. When Greece got its independence from the Ottoman Empire, they declared their church independent. One of the reasons was they wanted to be independent of the Ottoman Empire, and part of being independent of the Ottoman Empire was being independent of the patriarch who lived inside of the Ottoman Empire.
Who was that?
The Patriarch of Constantinople.
Okay. I didn't know that Byzantine and Ottoman were the same.
The Ottomans conquered the Byzantine Empire and made Constantinople their capital.
Oh. Is that when they called it Istanbul?
I know at
Are
least...
Are we allowed not allowed to say that? Is that what Aaron was getting...
No. The song is...
No, I can't sing the song.
Is that copyright?
The song is copyrighted. The name of the city is not.
Oh, okay.
No, the Turks did eventually rename Constantinople Istanbul. And I don't...
That's the whole point of the song.
Yeah. Right.
What I'm not sure of is, did they rename it earlier and the Western world just kept calling it Constantinople? Or did they not get around to renaming it until it was the Turkish Republic? But, yeah, so the Byzantine Empire, Ottoman Empire, and Turkey all occupied the same core territory.
Okay. All right.
All with the same capital.
Okay.
And the...
It was a happening place.
With the Patriarch of Constantinople still being in that capital the entire time.
Okay.
The Patriarch of Constantinople still lives in Istanbul.
So it was like, oh, hey, this government collapsed and here's some other guys. I'm going to suck up to them now.
Yeah.
As long as they keep me head of the church, I'm good, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, within Turkey, most of the Christians in Turkey still identify as Greek or Roman. A lot of the Christians in the Levant, Lebanon, Syria, and Israel and Palestine also will identify as Greek or Roman, not Arab. And...
Oh, ethnically, not.
Ethnically,
I
yes.
thought you meant religiously.
Not religiously, they're Orthodox, but ethnically, they will often identify as still being Greek or Roman. In modern Turkey, the Orthodox Christians there are still under the Patriarch of Constantinople, who still claims to be the first among equals, despite having the smallest Orthodox church in a country where he's under, especially. Presently, with Turkey's repressive borderline Islamist regime, it's making it more and more difficult for him to still do his thing.
Who is it? Do you know what his name is?
I don't off the top of my head.
Because nobody cares.
Nobody cares, no.
So he thinks he's the Pope, but he's not.
He's the Eastern Pope.
He's the Eastern Pope, and nobody cares, because...
Basically.
How has he not been killed yet?
Oh, they die all the time.
Well, I meant killed by the government.
Oh, just because Erdogan hasn't decided that... hasn't decided he wants to piss off the 5 or 10% of the population that are Christian that much.
He'd piss off a lot more than just that.
And also piss off Russia. Actually, no, Russia would probably thank him at this point, because Russia is not on speaking terms with... the Ecumenical Patriarch.
Who?
The Ecumenical Patriarch is another term for the Patriarch of Constantinople.
Just call it one thing, God. Dustin.
I would love to.
I'm shutting this down. But we are moving on to news.
They have a bunch of different terms.
News.
Don't use them.
News.
All right. So,
news.
What happened in news this year?
No, we're not. Not quite done there. The final thing with it is the Patriarch of Constantinople,
thank you,
still claims jurisdiction over the barbarians. the barbarians currently does not mean the Slavs, because the Russians were granted dominion over the Slavs. The Russian Orthodox Church was granted dominion
over
the Slavs.
It's just a generic term for outsiders, mm-hmm. right?
Barbarian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's claiming he has jurisdiction over all these people, and he doesn't.
So he's claiming jurisdiction over all non-Greek, non-Slavic Orthodox Christians. So he's claiming jurisdiction over Orthodox Christians in Germany and Britain.
And America.
And all of the Western Hemisphere.
Oh my God. He really thinks highly of himself.
He thinks America is full of barbarians.
Okay. Well, okay. All right.
Also China and Southeast Asia, but there aren't very many there, so that's kind of moot. So the Council of Orthodox Bishops in the U.S. is responsible to the Patriarch of Constantinople.
Not the Pope?
No, that's Catholic.
Gosh, come on. As if we were supposed to know that. Are we supposed
Orthodox,
to know that?
The Orthodox, that the Pope, and the Pope is Catholic. The Western Church.
Wait, so the Roman...
The Greek Orthodox Church. Greek and Orthodox. The Council of...
Right.
So the Council of Orthodox Bishops in the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is responsible to the Patriarch of Constantinople.
Okay.
Oh, here's what I'd like to see from listeners right now. I need you to draw Lauren and I a diagram, please. What would be better would be if you had a bulletin board with string and you were starting to connect things. But we need to see that.
But I thought the Roman Patriarch was the Pope this whole time.
The Roman Patriarch is.
But you said they're Catholic. Popey. Do you mean that they're the same thing or different?
The Roman Church and the Catholic Church are the same thing.
Oh, gosh. Again, listeners out there, Lauren and I need a diagram. A Venn diagram would be nice.
Oh, Venn diagram. I'm crying right now because I'm so confused.
I know, exactly. We need your help.
Okay, so
red string.
No, Destin, don't try to explain more. We want to go to the
news.
You've
done enough.
But the final point I need to make though is in the U.S. when the Soviet Union happened, the Orthodox churches there broke off from the Russian Orthodox Church, like we talked about last time.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
And many of them joined their own national churches. So at that time, the Greek Orthodox churches in America were under the bishops in Greece.
Mm. Okay, no more Constantinople. They just...
They have since switched to being under the Patriarch of Constantinople.
Since the Soviet Union collapsed.
Yes. Okay. So they briefly went to being under the church in Greece, and that has since been transferred to...
That was a blip.
Yep. So, effectively, in the U.S., there are Orthodox Christians that are under Constantinople, and there are Orthodox Christians that are under Moscow.
Okay.
Huh.
Moving on to news now.
But what makes it interesting, though, is that
this isn't
the Patriarch
news.
Of Constantinople kept becoming less and less relevant, and because he was able to successfully claim authority over Orthodox Christians in the Western Hemisphere among the barbarians, his finances have gotten more secure and his authority has grown to a significant chunk of the world again.
Right.
But nobody
right.
knows who he is or cares.
If you were a Greek Orthodox American, you would.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go ahead and take a quick
break.
It's
not even called Constantinople anymore.
But the church is.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with news.
So I thought the Catholics, and I thought they were all in, like, equal, like siblings or something.
Siblings that haven't been on good terms for 1,000 years.
That's fine, but that's something I can get.
Roman Constantinople are like siblings that haven't gotten along for 1,000 years.
Thank you.
Listen, can we just talk about Mormons again? That's so much easier. There's only three types of them.
I did, yeah.
Which I didn't know that there was a third
That's
one.
More than
but
I thought
so
I knew about.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you want to get the show ad-free, you can find out how at atheistnomads.com/donate.
Yeah, donate.
It is quick and easy to do, just like our newest patron, Beatrice.
Beatrice! Yay!
Yay! Applause in the soundboard.
Yeah.
All right, so for news. Franklin Graham called up Donald Trump to personally thank him for telling embassies around the world, U.S. embassies around the world, to not fly rainbow flags on the main flagpole.
Oh my gosh, but...
And Franklin Graham thanks Trump for this because the flags are offensive to Christians, because the rainbow was God's sign after the flood that he wouldn't destroy the world with water again. And
yeah.
The gays
so
had
nice.
To, the gays had to take away that good Christian symbol.
Where, you know, God put some things to kill a bunch of people. Except for not the animals.
We've been watching Good Omens, and they make just like a one-line glib like mention about it. And it's like, no, that is effed up.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But did you see in the news that the Mexican embassy or the U.S. embassy in Mexico was like, fuck that shit. And they totally put a flag up.
Yep.
Oh.
On the side of the embassy.
A bunch of them have. Yeah.
Yeah. So fuck you, Donald Trump.
It's ridiculous, of course.
Now, this is actually one of those where I think, honestly, flying a flag on the main flagpole of the U.S. embassy other than the American flag
doesn't actually make sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But when one president decides to say, okay, yes, you can do that if you want to, and people start doing it, and the next president makes a big deal about being the first president to declare Gay Pride Month to be a thing, and then get asked if they can fly those flags again this year and be told no, that makes it a super douchey thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he's not known for not being super douchey, right?
Mm-hmm. But Trump did make a big deal about being the first president to declare this, you know, June to be Gay Pride Month.
Which is hilarious because he's done nothing but whittle away at rights since he got
right.
No, he doesn't get to do that.
No, of course.
What a dick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he can.
I bet Pence was banging his head against a wall.
I'm sure Pence bangs his head against the wall a lot.
Do you think he masturbated to the fact that, like, Trump was like, well, you can't fly the flag. And he was like, yeah, I keep saying that.
I just love how this. I love how the symbol. Okay, so the pride flag is actually a very specific thing. It's not just a random rainbow, right?
There's right.
A rainbow, the symbol that they're claiming is a godly thing, is a naturally occurring phenomenon that occurs around the world almost on a daily basis.
It's part of God's second book.
And you can't be offended by. You can't claim that gays stole that because they're...
God's second book. If it's in nature, it's Christian. Except for Mormons, then it would be God's third book because of the Book of Mormon.
And the Pearl of Great Price.
Oh, so God's fourth book?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but then there's Doctrines and Covenants, so maybe fifth book.
Oh, fifth. Let's just keep adding.
It doesn't matter. He didn't sign anything, so.
You didn't sign anything?
No, God didn't.
No, yeah.
Oh.
If nature's God's second book, then why does it really suggest very loudly that he doesn't exist?
Right.
Although the first book kind of suggests pretty loudly that it's all a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't like the ideas like, okay, I killed out all the human race. Oh, here's a rainbow. Feel better? And Noah's like, no. Everybody's going to be pretty fucking inbred now. Thanks, God.
Yeah. All right. So what do you think? I'm going to let you guys guess, but what would you suspect that a group of new independent fundamentalist Baptist pastors would plan on doing in Orlando in the anniversary weekend of the Pulse massacre during Pride Month.
Are they protesting?
I'm guessing that they're burning rainbow flags.
They held a conference called Make America Straight Again.
Oh.
How quaint and adorable.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Because
America was always so straight. They really do think that this is a new phenomenon, don't they?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They don't have a very good grasp of history.
No. Sometimes it's hard to look back past your own life span.
Yeah, because if you look at history, it's pretty easy to suggest that straightness is a modern development.
I've heard that argument. That linear sexuality is a modern thing. I don't think it is. I think it's probably been around for a long time, but it didn't have a word for it.
Right, it didn't, because rich old men fucked young boys all the time.
All the time.
Uh-huh.
And boys would fool around with each other all the time.
And yeah, but when two old guys get together, that's just wrong. Apparently.
What? I was like, wait, what, Lauren?
No, that's what they think. They're like, nope, that's taking it too far. You can screw all the kids you want, but
leave
consenting adults out of this.
He scared me for a second.
Sorry.
But Baptists are generally pretty conservative. When you
they're
add
pretty, like they're very right. conservative.
When you add fundamentalist as a prefix, an adjective prefix onto Baptist, it suggests very, very conservative. Add independent as another modifier before that, they're so conservative, they can't get along with anybody else. And add new onto that, they found somebody, they came from a different group that wasn't conservative enough.
Well, let them have it.
This is... The longer a name like this gets, usually the crazier the
group.
The
more exclusionary it gets and the crazier they get.
And new independent fundamentalist Baptist is as horrifying of a name as you can get.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Doesn't really roll off the tongue, does it?
But yeah, they picked Pride Month.
Yeah.
Orlando.
Well,
of the Pulse massacre.
No, yeah, the absolute. I mean,
it was intentional.
When else would you do it? Sure. If your whole thing was to make America straight again, when else would you ever do that? Except for when everybody is celebrating gayness.
Yep.
Uh huh.
And in a place where most recently a large number of gay people died.
Right.
See, this would never happen if they were all straight.
And they probably would have gone to San Francisco, but figure they would have gotten had a harder time there than Orlando.
Yeah, true.
Interestingly, the locals weren't thrilled by this.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh, who would have thought?
What a surprise.
They lost a bunch of people that they knew in a terrible incident. Yeah. These people are using it to circle jerk.
Oh, I've used circle jerk so much in the past, like, it's been kind of funny. It's been a real circle jerk of a month.
Yeah, it has.
Just kidding, like 2 months, but whatever.
All right.
Let me just let it be known that I was not a part of any circle jerk. Okay.
God, Aaron, the term circle jerk has been around for like 10 years.
I know.
Get on the get in the subreddit.
Ew, yeah, no, not ew.
The term's been around a lot longer than that.
Well, I know, but the Reddit thing made it so.
I'm not on Reddit. Don't go silent. Don't go silent
I'm
on
not
me.
Judging.
Are you two looking at each other?
I'm not
I
judging.
I feel like you two are looking at each other and you're like, what the heck?
No.
Totally not judging.
No.
Okay.
All right, so Knox County Deputy Sheriff Detective...
Knox County.
Knox County Tennessee.
Thank you.
He's both a detective and the pastor of All Scripture Baptist Church in Knoxville.
Okay. All the scriptures.
All scripture.
Yep. All of them.
Yeah. Not cherry picking the scriptures. They follow all the scriptures. So he did a sermon on June 2 that he believes that federal, state, and county governments should arrest, try, convict, and speedily execute all members of the LGBT community, with grounds qualifying for this execution being as little as a cell phone photo of a person at a pride event.
Well, that's great. You can think whatever you want.
So, of course,
that's just crazy, though.
He's a detective.
That is more worrisome.
A badge and a gun and the power to arrest people and to be able to make up stories to excuse shooting people.
Yeah.
Fortunately, he was almost immediately put on leave.
Paid leave.
And probably. He accepted a county buyout offer. So he's getting all of his vacation and sick leave paid out, and then he is leaving the department.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This was looked into by the district attorney.
Did they look into all of his past arrests? And
they definitely reviewed the case about, is there anything they need to do? And as of the article I have here, they have not made a decision, but are still reviewing the case. The sheriff did not want to just fire him out of concerns that he'd get sued for violating this guy's First Amendment rights.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I get that. But no. I don't know. There's just something about having a badge and a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And uh-huh. You can't say inflammatory remarks like that.
Uh-huh.
Whether you have a history of actually acting on it or not, that's not okay.
It'd be right. One thing if he was saying something controversial on policies. That would be enough to be grounds for looking into things. If he was publicly exposing just a controversial viewpoint. This is way past that. It's not a controversial viewpoint. It's batshit crazy and terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. Which just goes to show that, I like to consider myself respectful of the police thing, the whole, what do you call it?
Fraternity.
Nope. That's not the word I would choose.
Yep.
I tend to respect police and give them the benefit of the doubt. Because that's how I was raised. I'm a white girl. Uh-huh. Of course I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because I was told that they were always there to do good things. But if you know a cop who says terrible things online, please report it because you don't know what damage they've done.
Yeah.
Right.
Canyon County, Caldwell police just got busted here for detaining a woman, and they tried to get ICE to come pick her up because she was a foreign born. That was the quote. And they're like, that's an American citizen. You got to let her go. When ICE says, no, we can't. You please let that person go. Foreign born. It's like, that's all he said. It's like, do you realize there are other ways to get citizenship, right?
And
freaking Caldwell.
When you're talking about somebody who's basically being called out for being a racist by ICE.
Yeah.
Oh, so for some good news, Botswana has decriminalized homosexuality.
Hooray!
That's awesome.
Yep.
This was a high court ruling where the court decided that the laws that imposed up to 7 years in prison for same-sex relationships were unconstitutional. This was a unanimous decision, and they called laws banning gay sex discriminatory. One of the judges said, sexual orientation is not a fashion statement. It's an important attribute of one's personality. And this law that had been in place since 1965, when imposed by the British colonial government, has now been struck down.
All right. Good for you, awesome. Botswana. Yeah, it still boggles the mind that some people think that it's some kind of phase or choice. Like, there's an example of a woman whose makeup artist for her wedding, she decided to fire her after she found out that she was gay. She's like, I would totally keep you as my makeup artist if you ever decide to not be gay.
What?
It's like, oh, fuck.
Oh, wow.
Stupid. So stupid.
There are still 31 out of the 54 countries in Africa where same-sex relations are illegal.
Yeah.
In a few countries, it's punishable by death.
Yeah. How often is that? It's the enforced stuff that I worry about. Lots of places have laws on the books that don't mean anything, but there are a lot of places throughout the world where it is actually enforced, and that is very concerning.
Well, considering Mauritania is one of the countries where it is punishable by death, and they're a country that still hasn't successfully ended slavery, I'm not holding out hope that gay people aren't getting put to death there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you said this was good news.
It is.
Go Botswana.
Botswana, yes. Yeah, it's, sure. This is good news. This is good news.
You just have to put a damper on it, you know?
Right.
Okay, to put this into some friendlier terms, we're down to being gay only being illegal in 31 out of 54 countries in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge progress.
Yeah.
The regions in the world where it is illegal to be gay keep shrinking.
Good.
On that nice map, if you follow the BBC had, it's still most of the Middle East, Russia, most of Africa.
I don't know what the hell Russia's thinking. It's like, come on, guys, you cannot keep denying this.
But considering that was a law in Botswana that got put in place by Britain in 1965.
Yeah, they should have wiped out all the colonial laws. Start over.
40 years ago, it was still illegal to be gay in Britain. The amount of progress that's happened in such a short period of time is amazing. So let's go ahead and take another break.
Let's do it.
And we have more news. All right. So New York has passed a bill ending all religious and philosophical exemptions for vaccinations.
The state?
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
Is effective immediately, and unvaccinated students will have 30 days after the start of the school year.
Yay!
To complete their, to start their vaccines.
That's awesome.
If it's not a medical exemption, right?
If it's not a medical exemption.
Right, yeah. Because those guys, duh.
Yeah, but then you're still going to have those groups, mainly religious groups, who are like, well, we have our own schools and all that shit,
or I'm just gonna homeschool my kid.
Well, yeah, well, a lot of those religious groups already do that, right? So that's kind of the problem.
But that's I still think a smaller percentage than the general people who just, most people, they take one look at what they have to do to actually homeschool their kids and go, you know what, never mind, just get the shot.
Right.
It's a lot of work on the parents.
Yeah.
Well, and when you look at it from the level they're trying to go with vaccine requirements is, it's the carrot approach, not the stick approach. It's getting it's a little bit of a stick that kids can go to school, but you can't send your kids to school if they aren't vaccinated, but you have to send your kids to school. But you can't send them to school if they aren't vaccinated. That is a bit more of a heavy-handed stick, but it is still lighter of a requirement than every child must be vaccinated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can be done. That has been held up in court every time it's come up in court. States are perfectly allowed to fine or imprison people for not getting their vaccines. They're just going with the softer approach of to send your kid to school where diseases spread like wildfire.
where diseases spread like lice.
Right. And where kids who have legitimate medical reasons to not be able to get vaccines and also not be able to fight off those diseases the vaccines are there to prevent, where those kids have to go too.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how people don't understand that point.
I just think they don't care.
They figure, they just can't see beyond their own selves.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, it is better for their kids to not risk vaccine injuring their own kids than to protect somebody else's sick kid, because that's not their problem.
Right. Like a kid with common variable immunodeficiency or cancer.
No. Yeah. That's their problem. That's not my problem. And that's selfish. And that's where the government needs to act as the parent over the parents and just say, you know, we're not going to let you Typhoid Mary this. We got to you got to stop this before it gets worse.
Right.
And the U.S. measles epidemic has passed 1,000 confirmed infections.
Wow.
Yeah, not an outbreak. That's an epidemic.
Confirmed infections. That means if they didn't go see a doctor and get tested, they're not getting counted.
Yeah. Well, when those first few death cases come through, maybe people start taking it seriously.
And statistically, that's coming soon.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Also, statistically, some of these kids will have permanent lifelong ill effects.
It's just a fever, is what I hear all the time. Like, no, you do not understand the dangers of that fever.
Right.
I keep grabbing my phone to check the time. And I'm like, no, Lauren, it's just let it go.
We've been at it for about an hour. We're good.
I'm just tired.
So Quebec has adopted a new secularism bill that will ban all religious symbols for state workers.
Interesting.
This definitely applies to anyone in a position of authority.
Okay. Yeah.
Some who are currently in their jobs will be grandfathered in. Teachers will have a chance of being grandfathered in. Police will not. Judges will not.
Teachers shouldn't be allowed either.
Lawyers will not.
I mean, the lady at the DMV, who really cares? But, you know, teachers actively teaching your kids.
The compromise on this bill was removing the requirement for private school teachers to not wear any religious symbols.
Oh.
This did pass strictly along ideological lines.
Of course.
With all the conservatives voting for it and all the liberals voting against it.
Is this the headscarf thing again?
Yep.
God damn it.
I was just going to say, so what about the headscarf? Okay, there we go.
It has nothing to do with the teacher wearing a cross. It's about a freaking piece of cloth.
Uh-huh.
You gotta start wearing it as a fashion statement. Just to spite people. God damn it.
Yep. So, yarmulkes, headscarves, crucifixes, all out.
You know, a part of me is like glad because it's all bullshit anyway, but then the other part of me is like, no, they're purposely targeting a small group of people here.
Right.
And they're also including everybody else in that, and that's kind of a dick move. If I was Jewish, I'd be pissed.
Although there've been enough of these bills that around the world that I'm having a hard time keeping them straight. This one might actually be the one that exempts yarmulkes and Sikh headwear.
Right. Then someone else attached something, an article to the Facebook page, but I'm not going to go into it.
Because
it's a very strong opinion.
Yeah. And this is one of those where I can definitely appreciate to harken back to an earlier news article we talked about. If a cop was wearing a giant crucifix hanging right next to the badge, that would make me really uncomfortable. And I would be perfectly fine with departments saying, and I would actually expect departments to say, that if you wear that, it can't be visible.
Right? That's all you have to do. Tuck it in. That's all you have to do.
And most Christians are fine with tucking their crucifixes in because they still know they're wearing it. And they still know they have Jesus right there next to their heart.
That's stupid.
Huh. Yeah.
But you can't do that with a headscarf, therefore...
Yep.
Yeah. Never mind that from a woman's, I don't know, from a woman's perspective, to make a woman legally have to remove clothing, any clothing, to me, is just effed up. It's nothing to do with religion. It's about what that woman is comfortable wearing in public.
Right.
And that, it's like that making that one woman strip her burkini on a beach. It's like you're telling this person to strip in public. No. Yeah.
I mean, so then, yeah, it's just basically about public shaming and making them feel less than, so.
And making sure that they can't leave their homes or go to the shop or anything. That's what pisses me off about it. From an atheist, secularist point of view, I'm just like, fine, if you're in a position of power, don't have any religious symbols, just keep it professional.
Right.
But when it comes to clothing... And taking that clothing away from people, that makes me very uncomfortable.
Right. Well, and then you also run the line of like, you know, shouldn't there be more representation of other cultures? And I get that it's a religion, but it's also a culture.
Yeah.
And shouldn't we?
And they straight up don't want that diversity. That's what they're trying to outlaw.
Right. Yeah.
Now, Quebec is doing this under the guise of protecting their secular identity as a people, which is something they've had to fight really hard for in the last couple decades.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, in the 1960s, every school in Quebec was Catholic. Every hospital in Quebec was Catholic. Birth certificates came from the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Your wedding license was issued by the Catholic Church.
Right. So what you're saying is they were very Catholic, and I get it. Like, then we should... Yes, definitely get away from Catholicism's rule and all that shit in the government. But yeah, but what they're doing now is banning specific communities because of religion. Like, this is a very, I mean, this is a very obvious attempt at making it so that there's a specific group of people who will never hold power.
Well, and when you look at the words of some of the people in the legislature that voted for it and the Quebec premier, this was about preserving the identity of the secular Quebecois nation.
Yeah.
Nation as in people group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Brown people need not apply.
Right.
They just, I don't think they get that. I don't think they're seeing that. Everybody else does. Everybody else is like, ooh, that's super racist. And they're like, no. We're just celebrating our own heritage by denying others.
Right.
Well, that's
right.
They're going with the approach like Austria does of, yes, you are welcome to come to our country.
If you conform to our.
As long as you assimilate.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Oh, I guess they have
the right to do that, and it still sucks.
They also passed a new immigration law that will make it easier for them to keep people out.
Boo, they
Nobody
suck.
Wants to be there anyway. Well, actually, no, it's apparently a lovely area.
With Quebec?
With poutine. And nice strip clubs.
Quebec City and Montreal are wonderful and lovely. I was not a fan of Thetford Mines.
It was an asbestos mine. Come on.
That has been closed down.
Jesus.
But yeah.
Does that make that better? I mean, it has been closed down.
It has been closed down. I was
after they toured you through it, telling you how safe asbestos was.
I got a tour deep into the last open pit asbestos mine in America.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. But in America, I mean the Western Hemisphere.
Uh-huh.
No, at least North America. Actually, I think Brazil
is
still
banned in that country.
Yeah, banned for use.
Let's just send the Americans down there. They don't.
Uh-huh. Instead of getting to go to Quebec City. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Rick Wiles.
Bitter much?
Rick Wiles is a right-wing Christian apocalyptic prophet with a TV show. He is really concerned about plant-based meat alternatives.
Oh, right.
So let's hear what he has to say. And I am going to pause because we need to comment throughout.
When you go to your favorite fast food restaurant, you're going to be eating a fake hamburger. You're going to go to the grocery store and buy a pound of fake hamburger or a fake steak, and you won't know that it was grown in some big corporation's laboratory. This is the nightmare world that they're taking us into.
So I have lived in that nightmare world.
Oh my God.
This nightmare world.
You won't know that Beyond Beef is beyond.
Right.
Because
it's not like they. The government are taking them.
Beyond and apparently the rest of the vegetarian
Morningstar
meat supplement. Like Morningstar, which is owned by Kellogg. All the other Adventist ones. Morningstar started out as an Adventist product to sell to non-Adventists, and then they sold it to Kellogg.
Oh, are we saying then that that maybe Morningstar makes it so that you don't get horny?
That's kind of the goal at the original at the beginning.
No, I know exactly. Yeah. So do you think they put something in there
Peanut butter products? Was originally a meat alternative.
Which makes sense because very hearty.
One of the three inventions of peanut butter, John Harvey Kellogg's invention of it.
The bland one that didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm.
The disgusting one.
You mean
one.
Like the natural peanut butter?
I do love how this guy's like, in the future, you're going to be buying fake food and you won't know it.
Which is also funny because
despite the patent pending and packaging that's coming in.
Right. You know, your food is so processed anyways. If your meat, for the most part, has so much shit in it. I mean, everything's got shit in it.
Well,
but
if you're buying it in chubs, I suppose. Well,
but I've lived in this horrifying world that he's envisioning. It's called Any Adventist Town.
Yeah,
right.
Both College Place, Washington, and Berrien Springs, Michigan. You go to the little grocery store there. There is not a single. There's no meat there.
Yeah,
but every imaginable fake meat is there.
Yeah, so is he more concerned about...
Let's continue. He goes there.
They're changing God's creation. Why? Because they want to be God. They want to do exactly what Lucifer did before the flood. It's why God destroyed it. He said he regretted that he ever made mankind.
So Lucifer means morning star.
That's funny. Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
That's right. Well,
okay, that's just funny.
If you're eating Morningstar, well, then you're all fucked, guys.
But
if you're Christians.
That tangent that he took didn't make any sense to his.
No, of course not.
Didn't make any logical sense to his argument. He's like, okay, they want to play God, and be like Lucifer before the flood, and God regretting making mankind. What does that have anything to do with the previous statement?
Well, and what doesn't follow with that is, according to the Bible, people didn't eat meat until after the flood.
Well, then he's not a good Bible-toting Christian, is he? So he doesn't know it front to back.
This is going back to pre-flood, not eating meat.
Because they were destroying his creation. The Bible says God is coming back to destroy those who are destroying the earth. So God is an environmentalist.
In which case God would be like, oh yeah, plant-based meat? That sounds way better than raising hundreds of thousands of cattle in the desert.
Right.
Yeah.
And cutting down rainforests so that we can raise more cattle.
Right. So God, if God's an environmentalist, then, you know, yeah.
And where
does
it say that?
What?
That God's going to come back and destroy people who destroy the earth.
That's in Revelation.
Oh, yeah?
It is? Yeah. I thought we were just gonna... Oh, that's right, because if they get raptured, right, then the people who are left behind,
that's not
horrible.
In Revelation.
No, I don't know.
Rapture was made up.
I know
Yeah, that's
as if I know anything about the Bible.
The rapture is not in Revelation. The secret rapture is not in Revelation. But God having a special punishment for those who destroy the earth is in there.
Oh, okay.
So
all cattle ranchers.
So basically anybody who owns oil. anybody who
everybody.
Well, then we're everybody. Yeah, we're all fucked.
See what's funny is he's probably sitting back and going, "Damn it, and I promised them with the rainbow."
Right.
He's going to have to come up with some other way of destroying all of mankind again fire. Because
right.
Fire.
Well, and then the other thing is it's like
oh yeah, wildfires. Hey, he's doing a really good job there. Rest in peace, paradise.
Okay, so we still have more because he's not done being crazy.
Yeah, we love these guys.
He takes this very seriously. He created this planet. He created the universe. And he's watching these Luciferians destroy his planet, destroy the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, change human DNA. Why? They want to change human DNA so that you can't be born again.
What?
That's where they're going with this, to change the DNA of humans so it will be impossible for a human to be born again.
And he lost me. Oh, my God.
A race of soulless creatures on this planet.
So
that was amazing. It just kept going.
Okay. Adventists who were behind the early meat substitutes.
The Morning Star.
And by early meat substitutes, I mean basically all of them in the 20th century. With Morning Star as their public brand, they don't believe that humans have immaterial souls.
Yeah, the born again thing's kind of more recent. Christian
that's an evangelical thing.
Yeah, that's not.
So, no, this is all an Adventist plot to destroy evangelicals, apparently.
I don't think
he made those connections, but
he's not making the connection between Lucifer and Morningstar for
no.
sure.
No.
But that's hilarious, and that makes the whole like this whole thing just that much crazier, and I love it.
The entire vegetarian food movement in its start was explicitly Christian.
Huh.
Then hippies picked up on it, and then environmentalists started picking up on it.
And now it's anti-Christian.
And it, yeah.
Full circle. Wow. That's amazing. Oh, God. I love it when these guys just go... It's like anything to get people to click on their YouTube video. They'll say anything. And yeah, that's hilarious. God, I could just imagine... And the way this guy said hamburger makes me want to be vegetarian. Like, I just... Ugh.
Blech. Just a spite?
No, just because the way he says it just makes it sound so gross. And yet, according to him, he's probably having freaking hamburger and steaks every night.
All right. Well,
the human DNA thing.
Oh, yeah.
The human DNA is like, why are they doing this? To create, you know, so you can't be born again. It's like, or to try to eliminate disease, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
No, he's trying to say that, for one, okay, lab-grown food. This isn't the attempt to create lab-grown meat. This is... plants that are not grown in labs are grown on farms.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they get hauled by trucks to factories that turn them into meat substitutes. My uncle hauled shipments of vegetables that were going to be processed into vegetable protein.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So it's not grown in a lab. They're not changing human DNA for some kind of anti-evangelical.
They're not injecting it with CRISPR to delete the soul gene.
The soul gene. Oh, that's an easy way to lose 7 pounds, right? Oh my God.
Well, how much does a soul weigh? Is it
somebody once claimed it weighed 7 pounds?
Okay, all right.
That this guy was watching a body die, and before the body,
oh yeah,
and then as soon as he checked when the body died, it had lost 7 pounds. They're like, that's how much the soul weighs. And I remember a kid in high school telling me, he's like, well, how do you explain that? I'm like, terrible measurements for one. Jeez.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, he's...
So that was fun. Thank you for bringing that one on.
He's crazy.
Yep.
We have two more stories, but we'll save those for next week to cover some material for the vacation.
All right.
Since we are out of time.
Yay.
We don't have any feedback. If you want to support the show, you can. AtheistNomads.com/donate. Get ad-free episodes every week and sometimes get bonus content when we go long. And if you are at the $2 an episode or higher level, get access to the post show, which often has Erin talking about her problems.
Erin at the Dirty Laundry.
Wow, that sounds like real not fun, but it's fun, I promise.
Sometimes. Oh, it is.
When
it
she
is.
Doesn't start crying, it's fun.
Hey, don't minimize my pain, man.
I'm no Jason Ward.
No. Yeah. Erin at the Dirty Laundry is like an amazing emotional roller coaster. You have...
you cry.
There's the horrible tragedy that's happened long enough ago that is hilarious.
Right.
There's the good times that are hilarious, and then there's the more recent stuff that's going to be hilarious in a couple of years.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I already have a bit about the whole thing. It just happens to be that, like, you know, I don't know.
It's just, all good.
It is. I mean, it
cheaper
it
than therapy.
And I still go to therapy once a week. It's great.
Yeah.
So you get to hear stuff sometimes. You get to hear fun stuff. Boise peeps, please share or go to Red Mike Comedy to look at outside or backyard, the backyard benefit for Pride Foundation. It's going to be this Saturday. You have to purchase tickets to get the address, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got local comics I'm hosting. We've got local comics, Riley Hoy, Jinx, Jenkins, and then an LA comic, Mattio Martinez. It's going to be so much fun. And then on Sunday, I have the Edge Brewing Company show that I will be hosting. Beth Norton, past guest Beth Norton's going to be on there, Dylan Hunter, Crystal Moore, who was just on, and then a secret guest from LA.
Ooh.
I mean, let's be honest.
Nobody
we already
you've,
know.
It's no, nobody you've ever heard of.
We already know who it is. Yes, except for you just heard of them. And that starts at 8 p.m. It's just one's paid and one's free, but you know. Like, the hope is that if you go to the paid show, it's $10. All the proceeds, the sales go to Pride Foundation. So that's really what it's about. You get a comedy show.
Good
it's
job.
It's going to be fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then I'll promote, I've got two shows for the next week, but I'll promote that on the next episode.
Awesome.
Cool.
And Lauren, Kylie, and I will be going on vacation the first week of July. We will be driving through Oregon in a fun triangle, kind of.
Oh.
Yeah. Going across up to Astoria, down the coast, and then back down to Grants Pass, and then back around. It's going to be a nice, fun vacation. If you want to buy us beer and you're on that route.
And Diet Mountain Dew.
Yes. You can feel free to hit us up. We can make stops along the coast.
And apple juice.
Right.
But not everybody on this trip drinks beer, Dustin.
Right?
Okay, if you want to buy me beer, you are always welcome.
Wow.
And on that note, remember, not all those who wander are lost. Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.